Last night, I watched my daughter sleeping, smelling of soap and tangle-free shampoo, and suddenly the responsibility of preparing that little human being for the world was overwhelming. I'm 36 and single, and I'm strong. That's why I'm here.
If you're searching for something to believe in, for your children to believe in, our hearts, our minds, and our doors are always open. The people of the United Methodist Church.
God is good.
All the time. God is good.
I didn't mean to run you off like that. If you need to get something from your mom, you can. Okay, she's good. Well, I'm Justin. I'm one of the pastors here. We'd like to welcome you to First Church. When you walked in, you were given a bulletin. If you get that bulletin out, there are a lot of different announcements just on the inside cover here. A few I want to point your attention to. After this service, we're having lunch bunch downstairs in the fellowship hall. We're having brisket, ribs, smoked turkey, beans, just all kinds of great food. And again, that's going to be directly downstairs after the service. So if you want to join us for that, you are definitely welcome. Also, we're having a newcomers class beginning at 1 o'clock with Eric. That's going to last a couple hours. You're going to cover just all sorts of things, just what we believe as a church, the history of John Wesley, Methodism, that sort of thing. It's not going to be too drawn out, but you're going to get a brief synopsis of some of that. Also, if you'll notice about our new worship times, we'll be starting September the 11th. So really, that's in 2 weeks, so begin just shifting your mind into that mode. In 2 weeks, we're gonna start that up. And there's also a few different opportunities with Deanna stepping down recently. There's some openings with music and with Christian education. If you're interested, take a look down here for some of that. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, the youth is meeting here at the church to go to the Lost and Found concert in Clinton. That's actually the name of the band. They're not going to a Lost and Found. I don't know how much that could be fun if there's a lot of good stuff there. But there's also a camera that someone's missing, speaking of Lost and Found. That's not going to be for them to take. But they're meeting at 2 o'clock, and they'll be getting back around 6 o'clock, okay? So that be aware of that. Also, if you would, at some point, take your connection card, tear that out. I hear people tearing them now. Very good. Tear those out, fill it out, drop it into the offering plate when you get a chance. And as always, Cliff Soppy puts out his Cliff Notes. These notes go along with the sermon today, and you can continue throughout the week to really meditate and let the sermon today marinate in your soul and continue to think about some of those things. And at this time, I'd like for you all to stand with me. If you'd grab your bulletin and stand with me. And on the inside cover, at the very top of the announcements, there is a passage in bold, and that is our mission statement. And I want you to read that together with me, beginning with our mission. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. Okay. You guys ready for an awesome worship service? All right, go ahead and take a seat. Mark.
Would you all stand with us as we get ready to sing together this morning? Blessed be your name. Now you know you're going to have to get your hands going on this, right? Here we go this morning. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, the sun shining down on me. World's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, was pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness, Lord, still
come
I
on now,
say,
sing it out.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Amen.
Dear God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. We come together today to celebrate you, to worship you. We thank you so much, God, for yourself, your love, the Son that you gave to us, and the Son so willing out of his love for us to die for us. We thank you, Lord, for his resurrection, the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings us together in community, that brings us healing, that brings us and empowers us to new understanding and stronger faith. Help us, God, this morning as a church. We know that you are present here, but we want to be deliberate in asking for your powerful presence. In Jesus' holy name, anoint each one of us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us full, Lord, so that we can experience the love that you have for us. Help us, God, as we experience that love, to share that love to others. Help us be Jesus to not only this community, but this entire community of Warsaw and beyond. We can only do that through you empowering us, God. Strengthen us. Encourage us, empower us. Help us step out on that edge where maybe we have been unwilling to step before and proclaim your name and the love that you have for us in Jesus' name. Holy God, anoint us today. Make all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place because of your powerful presence. All we ask is you, Lord. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. And all of God's people said,
and conquer the grave.
has conquered the grave.
Amen. Please be seated.
And now it's time for Kids Corner, led by Linda Nelson.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes,
I
sing
do.
With me, everybody.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
What a nice group we have here this morning. I have a word for you, and that word is honorable. Do you know anyone that you consider honorable? First of all, what's the characteristics of someone who's honorable? What do you think? When you think of the word honorable, you know, God expects his people to do what is honorable. Honorable people keep their word. Do you know people who keep their word? They're honest. When they deal with others, they respect others. They can be counted on to do what they say they'll do. And I think honorable people bless other people. Well, that's well and good when we talk about that. We talk about that kind of as an adult thing. But what can students and young people do to be honorable? You've been back in class. Can you have respect for your teachers and all the school personnel, the bus drivers? How about students that you come in contact with? Can you respect them, not embarrass them, not make fun of them? And how about not bullying anyone? That's, God expects us to be honorable with others, doesn't he? How about not copying homework, not copying off others' tests? We can show honor, too, as young people. And how about good sportsmanship? How about good, honorable behavior at ball games? Is that important? It is important, isn't it? Being honorable is an important thing. How about if somebody doesn't gives you too much change. Maybe you're buying a toy somewhere. Maybe you've had some allowance, and they give you back too much money. What should you do?
Give it to somebody else.
You should go back and talk to the clerk, shouldn't you? You should give it back. That's the honorable thing to do. You know, one time when my son was in probably eighth or ninth grade, he found a $10 bill at school. It wasn't his $10 bill, and he came home that night and he told us about it, and we talked about it. And you know, it would have been tempting to have kept it, because he found it, he didn't take it from anyone. But we explained that might be someone's lunch money that week. That $10 bill might mean a lot to that person. So the next day he took it and he turned it into the office. We got the nicest letter from the principal, Randy Morrow, commending his behavior. And you know, it's important when you find something. If a student loses a jacket or loses their purse and there's something important in it, what should you do?
You should like tell your teacher something.
That's right. Tell your teacher and turn it into the office. It's really important, and God really wants his people to be honorable. I saw something on TV. Did any of you see the young boy who won the $50,000 prize for getting the little hockey puck way down the court. They were at a public arena, some event, and there were twin boys, and one of the boys' name was called to get to participate, to try to get the hockey puck in the hole. They thought he would never do it, and lo and behold, he did it. He won $50,000. They were ecstatic. The only problem was it was the wrong boy. The name that was called was not the boy who hit the pucky. So the next day, the father called up the arena and said, "My other son is the one who participated. The one that you called was outside the arena." And he said, someone asked him, "Why did you call and say?" He said, "Because the rules said it had to be the name that was called." He said, "I could not dishonor my boys by cheating." I'm sure they lost the $50,000, but his boys will never forget that their father honored them. And had he not done it, they would have never forgotten that either. So I encourage you this school year to honor God, to honor your classmates, to respect them, to respect your school personnel, your bus drivers, your cafeteria workers, and think about the actions that we do. We all have an opportunity every day to honor God in our actions. Let's bow our heads with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these young people. We thank you for the church has such an opportunity to nurture, to mold them. We just pray, Lord, that as adults and members in this congregation, that we will honor them by honoring you in our actions and our words and our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll please turn in your hymnals to song number 600, Wonderful Words of Life. And the kids are going to come around and collect change. And if you want to throw a few dollar bills in there, that would be awesome too. All the money goes towards our apportionments. And last year, they raised $3,700 for that cause. Our joys and concerns. And before I start with what's on the bulletin and what's been given to me, Pastor Eric has a special concern that's been weighing on his heart, so we'll have him come over and share that with us.
The concern is the life of this mic. No, we have a very serious concern this morning. I was given a gift, and it says KU on it. And wasn't trying to play with your feelings there, but this is a very serious situation. And no, Leonard and Tyler gave me this just to poke fun at me. So anyway, maybe MU will take the gate this year. What do you think, huh? We'll see. I'm sure the chocolate will taste great, though. Thank you.
All right, and now on to the real joys and concerns. On the back of your bulletin, you will see a list of church members to continue to keep in your prayers for various health conditions and whatnot. And please don't forget those that are in our congregation that are serving overseas and those that are living in resident facilities. We want to give, Jamie wants to give special thanks to everyone who donated food, money, and time to the fifth quarter held at the junior high school on August 26th, which was Friday. Yeah. What an awesome show of support for the youth in our area. Approximately 100 students, and actually I was given a number of 126 youth and 16 adults, and they were safe. They ate, they had a great time. So thank you for all of you who prayed about it and contributed to that. We also have a couple more joys. We want to congratulate Tyler Summers, who was awarded his Eagle rank yesterday. And if you don't know what he looks like, you can look at him later, or you can check him out in the paper. And just also,
real quick on that, just so you know, if you don't know, only about 4% of the youth who start scouting as Boy Scouts become Eagles. So he is a very unique number in society. Only 4% make Eagle Scout rank. So
wow, that's awesome. And I just want to include one more joy for those of you who couldn't get into her journal or didn't get prayer warriors. Debbie Morrow's scan came back clear. So that is just a praise the Lord and blessing. And she's so grateful for all the prayers and the support from this church that has really gotten her through. So thank you for that. And now we're going to come together in a time of prayer. So if you'll please bow your heads. Lord, we come to you in the name of your son, Jesus, and we just thank you so much for these joys, and I know there are so many more. Just the fact that we're here today to worship you is a joy in itself. And Lord, right now, there are so many things going on in our world. Right now, we lift up the people who are being affected by Hurricane Irene, those that were not able to leave the areas. Lord, I just pray that you keep them safe, and that recovery will happen quickly. We also lift up everyone affected by any earthquakes and all the other storms that just happen to be hitting everywhere. And I just pray also for the people of Joplin. They still have so far to go, and I saw the governor speak on that while watching the Governor's Cup, and they're just, that town still needs a lot of prayer and a lot of help. We also just thank you for the food that is being provided today for Lunch Bunch, and we pray that we have a wonderful time in fellowship and that we are able to raise further money for missions and apportionments. Lord, thank you for the love that you give us, for the mercy that you show us, and for the life that you give us, for if it wasn't for you, we would not be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
passion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing.
Amen. That was good, guys. If you would grab your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once you have that, if you would, hold your place and please stand with me. Lift your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have.
Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 12 with verse 24, on the screen you'll notice a B after 24. Anytime you see that, if you see a B, that's typically the second half of the verse. So don't think that it's any kind of subtext or whatever. But that's basically what that means. But starting with 24b, it says, "But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
You guys take a seat.
I don't know if I woke Jamie and the boys up this morning laughing, but I love bulletin bloopers. Anybody ever read bulletin bloopers? Surely, yeah. And if you've ever worked as a secretary or administrative assistant in a church, you shudder when a pastor mentions bulletin bloopers. Supposedly, these are real, right? And I don't even care about that because they're funny, right? I'm just going to read a few of them here to get our chuckle caps on today. Our youth basketball team is back in action on Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the recreation hall. Come out and watch us kill Christ the King. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. Remember in prayer the many that are sick of our community. Sorry. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Now, I know no one would ever request this in the bulletin, but here it is, at least from this church. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. Now, surely you just request one of Justin's sermons, not mine, right? He's far away from me, so I can say that. All right. Have you ever noticed when bad things happen to people, so many times they disappear from the church? Have you ever noticed that? There was a time about 2 years after I graduated from Northwest that I was so hurt, I not only disappeared from the church, I actually pulled up roots, moved away from friends and family, and went to Miami, Oklahoma. And all there was down there was me, myself, and I, and the three of us were pretty lonely down there in Miami, Oklahoma, for a while. Why do we do that? Why, when we get hurt or something happens in our life, many times we pull up stakes and move away from our support system, right? Is really what that is. But I've seen it over and over and over again in ministry. People lose a child, a spouse, a parent. Cancer is diagnosed. A spouse leaves. And for some reason, they disappear. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that they're gone from the community, but groups that they're involved in, many times they choose not to be involved with them, at least for a time. Churches, people will come up to me and say, "Eric, I haven't seen so-and-so for a while. What's going on?" You know, they just kind of fade away for a while. And maybe that's been you. I know it has been me in years past. Even for those who don't or can't disappear, we feel so alone, don't we, when things like this happen? We can be in a crowd. We can even be here in the church. Maybe we just laughed at those bulletin bloopers. But inside, loneliness is just screaming out, and we don't understand why no one else hears. You ever been in that place? I was thinking about this, and I ran across several scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote, and I invite you to get your Bibles back out. We're going to open those back out and just flip through several scriptures right up front here so you can kind of see some of these different things that the Apostle Paul talks about. In 1 Corinthians 12, where we just came from, I want to reread what Justin has read for you this morning already. Listen to this. But God has so arranged the body, given the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. I also found these words in Galatians, just a few books behind 1 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 5. It says, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And again, listen to Romans 12. Romans 12, 9 through 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere, in prayer. I love the way the Message says it with regards to Romans 12. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Love from the center of who you are. As a matter of fact, I really like all of Romans 12, this passage. So write it down, and if you have the Message Bible, it's a transliteration of the Bible that has been really popular. It's really great way to get a different, I wouldn't call it a study Bible, but a devotion Bible for you to hear different voices as you're reading Scripture. It's great for that. But Jesus, the one we claim as God's Savior, God's Son and our Savior, was asked of all the commandments, which is the most important? Which of the commandments are the most important? And Jesus summarized the whole of the Old Testament with two commands. Many of you know what they are already. The key, Jesus said, the glue, my words, the binding that holds together someone's walk with God is loving God and loving others. Loving God and loving others. If you get this concept, Jesus said, you get it all. You get it all. If you apply this truth to your life, you will see others in a new light. You will see others in a new light. Why? Because everything rises and falls with love. Think about this. The world was created because of love. Jesus died and rose again because of God's love for us. Literally, the world goes around because of love. Well, you might be thinking, Eric, what in the world does this have to do with people disappearing from the church when bad things happen to them, when the world hurts them? Well, if we're reading this scripture, this morning's scripture from the Message, it brings to light where I am going today. So 1 Corinthians 12. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. All right? You understand that? The way, this is the Apostle Paul, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part is dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part hurts, doesn't it? Every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing as well. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. 27, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. So let's read this again. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions this morning, and I would like you to raise your hand, okay? If the question is within your camp. Now, I want to hear you. I want you to hear me, excuse me. Only do this because you want to, all right? Some of these questions are going to be tough. And you'll understand why I'm asking them, and you'll understand why I want you to raise your hand in the meantime. It won't be providing any secrets to anybody. All it is I want you to look around and look at the community that is around you, okay? So if you raise your hand, if you're up front, turn around and look at folks that are raising their hands behind you, all right? So I'll start with an easy one. How many here are happier than you've ever been before? Awesome. Hey, you have quite a community around you that are happier than you've ever been before. How many here are single? Yeah, some are assumed. You're single. There's no ring, buddy. So, again, all kidding aside, how many are single? All right. How many here are or have been single parents? Single parents. Okay. I want you to look around, look at your community. Okay. How many here have lost a spouse? Look at the community that's around you. How many here have fought cancer? Look at the community that's around you. How many here have lost a family member to cancer? Look at the community that's around you. How many here have lost a child? Yep. If we were to continue reading 1 Corinthians and move into chapter 13, we hear a definition of love. And as we think about these questions, and I mean, that's just 8 or 9 questions, right? And you looked around at the other people who have experienced both the mountaintops, right? And the valleys, some of them very deep, that you have experienced. You have a community of people that are around you, that their lives have been touched with that very same thing. And many of us say, oh, Eric, yeah, but my situation's different. I love you all very much, but there are millions of people through the centuries that have gone through the same highs and the same lows that you're going through. And I, even as a United Methodist pastor, would be willing to bet that you can find at least one other person in this church who has as well. So when we, in 1 Corinthians, we've been looking at chapter 12, and if we move on to chapter 13, we hear a definition of love. And the chapter 13 is known as the great love chapter of the Bible. Now, when you're reading this, you've heard me say this before. Where is the primary place that you hear 1 Corinthians 13 read? Weddings, right? Now, if couples treat each other with this kind of love, they'll have an excellent marriage, right? But the interesting thing is the Apostle Paul wasn't writing to married couples, was he? The Apostle Paul was writing to a church in Corinth. And Paul says this is the love that Christians should have one for another. All right? So as we read this, as I read this, if you want to read along with me, 1 Corinthians 13, I won't read the entire chapter, but just a portion of it. The Apostle Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And now faith, hope, and love remain or abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Now, again, it's awesome to have this kind of love between a husband and a wife. But again, Paul isn't writing to a couple. Paul is writing to a church. And the love that Paul uses in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is agape love. It's a self-sacrificing love. This love that the writer is defining is the kind of love we need to experience in a church community. Friends, we must help one another attain this self-sacrificing love. Love is, by its nature, a community activity. I mean, think about it, right? You love one another. I mean, I can even love Ray. But that's a different kind of love. This is agape love. Guys, it's safe to look at your brother in Christ and say, I love you. That's kind of a sissy thing, isn't it? If you're a real man, you can do it. All right? This is agape love. But here's the kicker. Love is learned. Love is learned. Listen to me. There are kids in our community. There may be kids and adults in this church that believe the only time their spouse or their parent loves them is when they slap them, hit them, abuse them. Do you hear me? All their life, their definition of love, Dad really loves me when he hits me. Dad or Mom really love me when they abuse me, because they're giving me that attention. That's love. And you've heard me say this before, a church's responsibility is to redefine that love, because what we come out of is called agape love, right? That self-sacrificing love. So the church community needs to be a place where true love, agape love, is experienced and taught, because quite honestly, love is learned. It is not something that you come out of the womb knowing exactly what love is. Love is learned. It takes an interaction with someone. It takes a community of the church to practice this agape love. Another way to look at agape love, if you want to turn to Hebrews with me, Hebrews 10:24. By the way, you know, this is where it says in the Bible that the man of the house must brew coffee, right? Hebrews. Anyway, Hebrews 10:24. It says this, "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love." Guess what kind of love that is, if we were to take that back to the Greek. The Greek word here for love is agape love. Agape love. The word refers to a type of love that is selfless, allowing oneself to be vulnerable, even self-sacrificing. It's the type of love that puts others first, even before one's own self. It is an accepting type of love. That is the love that belongs in Christ's church, this church, as well as others. That is what makes us stand out. That is what shows the world that we are different. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 13, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Again, this is agape love when it's taken back to the Greek. It is a specific kind of love, a self-sacrificing love. And this atmosphere of love and acceptance is something I know I do, and many of the leaders here at the church, I think all of them, constantly strive for here at First Church. If you're looking for a church home where you will be accepted, supported, and prayed for, this is the place for you. If you don't like churches that do that, I guess you either have to get used to it or maybe there's another church. But this one focuses on acceptance and support and praying for people, a place where people will stand with you. Do you understand what that means? To stand, have someone stand with you. A place where people will celebrate with you. I believe you've come to the right place in that regard. But the thing is, this concept goes two ways. So in conclusion, here we go. What do I want you to take home with you today as a church community, folks? First of all, you need to hear these words, and you know them. You are a child of God, and you are not alone. Let's change it to I am a child, all right? And let's all read it together. I am a child of God, and I am not alone. Let's do that again. I am a child of God, and I am not alone. That is reality. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. That is who you are. You are a child of God, and you are not alone. But here's the deal. There's two sides to that, isn't there? Yes, no, maybe? All right. There's two sides to that. One side comes from you, doesn't it? I'll never forget whenever Jamie and I lost our little girl, right? We felt so all alone. We felt like we just didn't understand what, and I was a preacher, and I felt like I just could not be a preacher anymore. I felt like I'd sacrificed so much, sacrificed my family in many ways, and yet here this little baby was taken from us, right? But you know what? What I realized, and I looked around at that church, it was Plattsburgh United Methodist Church, and I had no idea how many women, how many families lost little babies like that, stillborn babies. And it's because of them that I understand this concept. Because remember what I did outside of college? I pulled up stakes and moved away when I got hurt, remember? All of a sudden, of course, I was forced to be there, right? At least for a time, I couldn't pull up stakes and leave. But what those families did, they showed me, Eric, you're not alone in this. A lot of people have had to deal with this. It's okay. We're hanging in there with you. Just be there with us, right? And so I learned that this is a two-way street. You can have a church that is amazing, that prays for people, that loves people, that stands in the crossroads with people, but unless you're willing to allow the church to stand there with you, it doesn't do any good, does it? I mean, we can pray for you, but as far as that instant, that you know, the fall in my arms, it's safe type feel. We are here for you. We have been there. We understand your feel, right? So that was so awesome to learn that. And folks, that's one thing that I want you to hear today. You are a child of God and you are not alone, but you have to accept the love. Remember, it's agape love. You probably know a lot of people in your life who have rejected that love from God, haven't you? You're probably thinking of people right now who you know, at least the last time you talked to them, they rejected the love that God offered them in Jesus Christ. So if you offer that love, many times it is rejected. Even by our own membership, by our own community of faith here, many times it's not like literally rejected, but it's like, I just got to disappear, right? I got to live in that pain that I'm in. And the thing is, there are so many in this community and every community who have gone through exactly what you're going through. You are a child of God. Let's say it. I am a child of God. I am a child of God, and I am not alone. No matter how lonely your situation is, no matter how convinced you are that you are alone, you are not alone. You have to allow yourself to fall into our arms of love and prayer and support. Amen. Second, realize that there are people in this caring community that either have gone through or are currently going through what you are. Realize that there are other people in this caring community that either have gone through or are currently going through what you are. So, why in the world do we disappear from, for instance, this particular community? Why would we do that? There are many people in this congregation who their spouses have left them, and they have stood strong. Talk to them. See how well they made, how they made it so well, I mean. I feel like, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you've lost a spouse to death, whether it's cancer or accident or something else. There are many people in this church, and in this, we have another service as well, that have lost their spouse. You are in a community that will make you stronger. Find those people. That's why I wanted you to raise your hand and look around, right? There are many people in this congregation who have lost a family member or a loved one to cancer. Find that community. That's what the church is about. Yes, it's about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I'm saying beyond that, it is to support one another. That is what a community is about, so that you know that you're a child of God and what? You are not alone. There are people here who have gone through what you are going through. Go to them. Go to them. Allow yourself to be vulnerable so that they can do God's will and open up their hearts and their love to you, that agape love, and support you when you need it worse. Folks, maybe we should even create small groups around life situations. What do you think? You ever thought about that? You know, we want to get small groups going. Justin and Mildy have done a great job doing small groups, and all you teachers, it's great. Let's keep doing that. But maybe we ought to turn the corner just a little bit. Maybe we ought to look at some things in our life that happen and make that be the centerpiece so we can support each other. Kind of like AA in a way, right? Except for other issues in our life. I don't know. Finally, you again have got to open yourself up to these folks. You have got to open yourself up to these folks. To us, let us help. Don't be big-headed and think you can handle it or you can shoulder whatever you're going through. Right? If we go back to last week, who is that about? Me. Right? That's all about me. Church and Christianity is not about me, is it? It's about the community. It's about God. It's about Jesus, what God has done through Jesus. Let us help. Let us be there for you. I can't tell you how many times we get calls in the office. Well, I was in the hospital last week. Why didn't the pastor come by? And we say, oh, you were in the hospital last week. We can't know what we don't know, right? So this entire church doesn't know that you were in need and in the hospital because we didn't know about it, right? Let us know. Let us help you. Let us be there. You are a part of a loving community that wants to help. So let us help. One of my favorite songs is from the Gaither Vocal Band called Loving God, Loving Each Other. And I think they got it queued up, and we're going to listen to that real quick and think about what we've been talking about this morning.
You know, our Lord told us to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and then love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We tried to say this in a song, loving God and loving each other.
Loving God, loving each other, my friends,
what we're doing.
Loving God, loving each other, and the story never ends.
Listen.
They pushed back from the table.